kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I'd like to share with you a story in the Bible that we all know, but I hope that this is applicable for us and will encourage us, particularly at this time we are going through globally. And I'm calling our teaching today, It Is Enough. It is enough. And I'm sure you know where I'm leading with this, because we're dealing with Elijah. And turn with me, if you will, to the book of Kings, Kings 19, chapter 19, 1 Kings, chapter 19. And we take up the story of where Elijah escapes from Jezebel. And he's on a run. And he's had enough. And we're told that Elijah is like us, a man of like passions and so on. And yet, look at the mighty deeds and wonders that God did through him. So it's a great encouragement to us when we at times feel, you know, we've just had enough. We're tired, exhausted. And it just seems that everything we believed for, I've trusted God and held on to, just doesn't seem to work out as I thought. This is exactly what this man is going through. And we're going to read verses 1 to 18, because I want us just to get the story of this before we'll then break it down and somehow we'll see a relation of this that works also in our lives. And it says this, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. So she's threatening, she's trying to work with fear, the usual thing the enemy tries to do. And then verse 3 it says, and when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life, and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. And he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under the broom tree. And he prayed that he might die, and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better. For I am no better than my fathers. Then he lay and slept under the broom tree. Suddenly an angel found him and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So God is giving him sustenance to eat. He's trying to encourage him. What is happening here? There's depression trying to get in. And we've all of us have experienced that, haven't we? And so he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the Mount of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by. A great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael, the king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel, Meholon, and you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and have at every mouth that has not kissed him." There is, I believe, a similarity with what we are going through. I can't really speak for other saints around the world, although I suspect that it probably is the same. You see, this is a story where Elijah failed at his strongest point, having, as you know, he tore down the altar of Baal. He killed the false prophets of Baal. Israel saw a miracle taking place when fire came down and devoured the offering. There the powers of darkness were trying to mock Elijah, trying to make a show of him, that God wasn't with him. And so now this has been done. Jezebel has now killed the prophets. And we know that Obadiah, he hid 100 of these prophets in a cave and fed them. There you see God is preserving a remnant, because she is trying, or the powers of darkness are trying through her, to destroy the mouthpiece of God. The powers of darkness are trying to destroy the prophets speaking to Israel. Revelation. God speaking. This is what always the powers of darkness try to do. They try to destroy the word of God. They try to destroy God's people, God's anointed. The powers of darkness do not want God speaking. This is why the word of God has always been under a threat. And the revelation, the Bible that you hold, the powers of darkness have tried over the centuries to destroy this word. so that no prophet speaks, so the Holy Spirit cannot minister and save. You can see how it tries to work. And this, of course, is why this is so important, because when the Antichrist comes for that 7 years, and particularly the last 3.5 years, it will look for a season as though the powers of darkness have conquered. They will try to destroy every Christian, putting them to death. Change the laws of God, which of course they're trying to do now. We see this in the world and in politics. There is the last final attack against the revelation of God on the earth. And here is a type taking place, working through a woman, attacking ministry, God's anointed. That is what Jezebel does. And that spirit is still around today, attacking churches. Nothing new under the sun. And of course, had she wanted Elijah dead, she could have done it. But she's manipulative. She's devious. She wanted to humiliate him before those who had seen what he had done by destroying the altar of Baal and executing the prophets of Baal. She wants to now humiliate him before destroying him. That shows how devious this spirit is that works. And Elijah failed at his strongest point. Look at the miracles that God's wrought through this man. And this great miracle here of destroying the altar of Baal. That's no mere thing. That strong demonic forces working through that. That he challenges Israel. He challenges them because they are confused. They don't know who to worship. And that's always what compromise does. And he's at his strongest point here. And what does he do? He runs. Fear. And sadly, that's where many have failed. So don't just look at Elijah. Moses failed to go in and possess the promised land because he lost his temper with the children of Israel and he struck the rock twice. And I feel sorry for him. You know that temptation. There's an old saying today, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. But he didn't make it in to the promised land. He failed at his strongest point. How about Abraham, a man of God walking by faith? Where did he fail at his strongest point? He listened to his wife. And she said, I'm far too old now to have children. Go in with your maid and have an heir. And so he obeyed and he did. And that was not God's perfect will. And you know the rest of the story, how it went. He failed. And Elijah flees from a woman. And this is why when we are at our strongest point, when it seems things are really happening and we see the power of God at work, that is the time we need to acknowledge we are at our weakest. And we need to stay so close to God because it's human nature. We like to be in control. And we're not. And God has to teach Elijah he is not in control. God is. Because it doesn't go the way we like, we think. And this is why I'm always saying you have to let go. What is this letting go? It's a letting go of confusion. It's letting go of why. It's letting go of depression. It's letting go of where we're trying to work a plan B or a plan C. We're all experts at it. And that's why we have these stories. And then when it doesn't work out, plan B didn't work out and plan C didn't work out. Oh, it is enough. It is enough, Lord. Take my life. I've served my purpose. I'm of no use. Just take me home. Does it all sound familiar? I know, I've gone through it. Oh, but praise God for his mercy and grace. He doesn't give up on us, does he? And so looking back here, we see that in verse 2, then Jezebel sent messengers to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. So she's threatening him. She's mocking him. Because as I said, she could have destroyed him any time. She had that power. And so Elijah prays that he may die. A mighty man of prayer he was. How do we know? He stopped rain for 3.5 years in judgment over Israel. That's no mere thing. That is a clear sign God was with him. He was a man of prayer. And here he is. He wants to die. He's had enough. He's asked the Lord to take his life. And the question I raise is, does God answer this prayer? Like he answered the prayer to stop rain for 3.5 years. No, he doesn't answer this prayer. And God doesn't sometimes answer your prayers or my prayers. Because there are times when God isn't going to answer such a prayer. And that is a blessing, that God doesn't answer our prayer. This will explain sometimes why it seems as though nothing happened in prayer. But don't be despondent. Don't always think, well, I didn't have enough faith or whatever it is. That well could be the case. But it could be that you are not praying the right prayer for God to answer, to glorify his name. You see, he was praying out of depression, unbelief. He was praying out of fear because he was running from a woman. And we do the same sometimes. Are we fearful what's happening in this country? Are we fearful when we see our liberties, our freedom gradually being taken away? Are we fearful because we're now seeing around the world tyranny? Oh Lord, it's enough. Come, rapture me, rapture, take us away, Lord. You cannot use the rapture as an excuse. Now we need to be on our guard here. We are going to be raptured. It is clearly in the word of God. He's going to do this. But he will not do it that way. He will not answer prayers that way. Because you're crying out, you've had enough. The Lord knows when we've had enough. Because he knows us better than we know ourselves. And he's not going to answer those prayers because everything he does is for his glory. You see, when Elijah is saying it is enough, he's saying, I can't do this anymore. That's what he was saying. I can't cope with this. The strain is too much. It was stressful. It was exhausting. And above all, nothing was accomplished. He was saying, I revealed Baalism. I tore down that idol so that Israel could see. I executed the false prophets of Baal who prophesied lies. Israel has seen the hand of God. And here it is, they're now after my life. Nothing accomplished. And yet look at the miracles that took place in this man's life. Does it all sound familiar? Does it sound familiar that we say that about the deeper life and the teaching that we've had over the years? Oh, look, nothing's really been accomplished. We've had all this teaching, this rich food and everything, and look at us, just a handful. All sounds so familiar, doesn't it? And we wonder why God isn't at times answering our prayers. That's the mercy and grace of God preserving us. We have to learn that God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are way, way far different to ours. We need to learn to let God be God and stop interfering in his sovereignty, because he doesn't get it wrong. Elijah's depressed because the work on Carmel, it didn't fully accomplish the destruction of Ahab and Jezebel. And that's why he said, it's enough, I can't do any more. I've done everything I know for you. I've obeyed you, and yet look at it. Little has changed. Oh, brothers and sisters, I have been there. And I know you've been there as well. But praise God, here we are today in this room, listening to God, the Lord still with us, bringing us under his presence. Because he's not finished the work that he has started. And so Elijah runs away. Why does he do this? Because he wants a change. I've had enough. I want to have a change. Some different scenery. I want to meet some different people. I don't want so much complication and hassle. Oh gosh, we've all done it. We can do it with our own family as well, our own children. But you see, the problem was that Elijah had left God's people. He had left Israel without a voice. And God was not going to let that happen. God has to restore this man. God has to reveal something of himself to this man to encourage him and get him back to accomplish and finish that work that God wants to do through him. You see, Baalism hasn't been fully judged yet. And so God restores him. There's more God has to reveal of himself to him. The revelation of God. And we read it, didn't we? Where God reveals himself on Mount Horeb. And he said, let's look at this again back in verse 11. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Now, of course, here God is revealing his mightiness, his majesty. But you see, he's working through an earthquake. He's working through fire. He's working through a mighty wind. Because Elijah is used to that sort of thing. That's what his ministry is about. Elijah hasn't learnt yet the still small voice of God. He thinks God speaks through an earthquake. And there are many today when there is an earthquake around or a famine and we get them. Oh, that's the judgment of God. That is God judging. Not always. It can be other things. The best way to know what God is saying is in that still, small voice. And that is where we get the idea of our relationship with God, where God draws us aside. He sets us aside and we go into our closet and we meet with God and we let God speak. We so often go before God, rattling off our lists, our problems, our burdens and everything, but are we allowing the Holy Spirit to train us to hear that still small voice? And brothers and sisters, with what is going on now in the world, we need to be trained by the Spirit to hear this still small voice, because there is so much fear, there is so much confusion. Why, even people are speaking now out against this is fear. I said right at the beginning, when this COVID crisis started, I said, COVID isn't the killer, fear is, and it will be. And that's exactly what we're seeing. And we're even seeing amongst Christendom. Why? Because here is the principle, this still small voice. And so we see that Elijah carries on doing what he wants to do. And he says again, I've been very zealous for the Lord, you know, the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left and they seek to take my life. God was very good there, because God didn't say to him, Elijah, you've already told me that. Sounds familiar? How many times we tell the Lord as though he's deaf, he needs to put his hearing aid in. He's still not got it yet. Then the Lord said to him, verse 15, go, return your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And so the Lord's now telling him, getting his attention, you need to go back, you need to anoint, you need to unite again with Elisha, because Elisha's going to take on your mantle. Again, the voice of God speaking to Israel. You haven't finished it yet. By this time, he hears what God is saying. And so he goes back and accomplishes and finishes his ministry. That is why, brothers and sisters, we're in a race. The Apostle Paul clearly shows us that we've run this race that God has set before us. And you know, one of the amazing things with the apostle Paul, he knew at the end he had run that race. God gave him a revelation. He had accomplished and done what God wanted him to do. And we will have a revelation, FGA, that we, both individually and corporately, have run this race. We're still in it yet. And that is why the Lord has not come to rapture us yet. There's still a work to be finished. Even though we feel it is enough. I've had enough. The work has to be finished. The man-child is not quite yet ready for birth. We're in those labour pains, and it's very painful, and it's increasing. The contractions are increasing, but the man-child is not yet born, because we are still in this race. And you see, the trouble is, and this is where we are not always honest, because we use our past life to excuse that we've had enough. And Elijah was doing the same. I've done this for you. I've judged Baalism. Jezebel, Ahab are still after me. They haven't changed. They've not repented. See, he's using all the excuses, and we do exactly the same. And then when it doesn't happen, we get depressed. Lord, take my life. Had enough. I don't want to know anymore. It's failed. It's failed because of my past life and how the enemy likes to bring up our past life. And sadly, he uses people, even in our brothers and sisters, to remind us of our past life or where we missed it. That is a tragedy, but it goes on. And what's it for? To try and work depression. Oh, well, that's it. It's enough. I'm never going to get this right. As we bring this to a conclusion, we also see how God is so practical. He's run into a barren desert, hot, terrible. And what does God do? God ministers to his physical needs. You see, spiritual people who are in this race, and you're in this race, actually need at times to rest and build oneself up. This is why I've always said we're like a spiritual battery. But batteries can get run down. They have to be recharged. And that is why we have to allow the Holy Spirit to do that in us. I need that at times. We know that God's grace and mercy is sufficient. But he's got a long journey ahead of him. He's still got to fulfill God's will in dealing with Israel's sin, dealing with Jezebel and Ahab. And so he needs that strength. He needs to be revived. Why? Because he's allowed depression in. He has said it's enough. He's run away. He's hindered himself spiritually. And we can do that. There are some of our brothers and sisters who should be with us today in fellowship, but they've run away. They've done exactly what Elijah did. And this is why we pray This is why we don't give up on the prodigal sons, that God will restore. But look what it does. It hinders your spiritual life. It weakens you. And the first thing that starts to come in always is depression and oppression. And so Elijah has been revived. He's learning the mercy, the forgiveness of God. And he rises up again in the Spirit of the Lord and accomplishes and finishes the work that God has for him. And there is a work God has to accomplish and finish with us, and both individually and corporately. And we are not to let what we see and what we hear to get us down. It doesn't mean that we don't pray or intercede. We are to. And I suggest to you that we need in this country to get into prayer as the Spirit leads and warfare, because on Tuesday the government are going to decide to implement Plan B. And you've all heard what this Plan B is to start to bring in these passports and the possibility of making this vaccine, that's what they call it, it isn't a vaccine, but make it mandatory. And so it goes on. So the powers of darkness are threatening. Yes, even this nation that prides itself in democracy. But there are weaknesses that we are seeing. There are chinks in the armour. Because we are seeing the nation is not happy with its Prime Minister. And he is in the balance. I give this out because we have to get in spiritual warfare to push back the powers of darkness. For what purpose? To accomplish and finish that work that God has for this nation. See, God hasn't forgotten this nation. He has not forgotten the blood that has been shed over the centuries, the missionaries that have gone sharing the good news of the gospel. No, it's not always been perfect. But that is the sovereignty of God. And that is why we find so many want to come to this country. We see the crisis at the moment of migration. They're wanting to come from France to this country. Why don't they want to stay in France? Because they know there's still democracy in this land. And why is it like it is? Because saints get on their knees and they pray and intercede and get into warfare. That's why. None of these things happen in a nation unless you have got God's people who pray. Trust me. This is not a time to be asleep, to be complacent, or I've had enough, or whatever it is. This is why prayer is so important. And not only that, we need to pray for other countries, particularly at this time, Austria and Australia. There's appalling things that are taking place. We know it's going to happen. But we know also what God has revealed to us, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we can bind them. We can push them back until the church is taken away. What for? Why do we do this? Because the work has to be finished. Elijah had to finish the work, and we have got to do the same. Keep your mind out of it. It looks at times a failure. We don't understand, but that's why we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that is why Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. I have come to take over. And we must let him do it. More of him and less of us. Heavenly Father, thank you again for speaking to us. Lord, we so identify with what we have just read and heard from the word today. Well did you say that Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. And we've all failed, Father, in this, and forgive us, Lord. Father, we want to rise up in your spirit, your strength. We want to accomplish and finish that work you have for us as a body. Lord, thank you for your mercy, your grace. Thank you, Father, where you've not always answered those foolish prayers we prayed in blindness, in fear. It just reminds us that you are on the throne. You are utterly sovereign. You have it all under complete control. And above all, Lord, may we be always found faithful to what you say to us and reveal to us, because we know obedience blesses your heart more than anything else. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Let him in constancy follow the master.
All life's done.